This is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and I'm your host, Heather Vail. Today I'm speaking with Will Abbott, Director of Development for Junior Achievement of Southern Nevada. The local nonprofit organization works with schools to inspire and prepare K-12 students for success. They do this by offering proven lessons in financial literacy, career readiness, and entrepreneurship. Will's nonprofit experience also covers various initiatives with the Boy Scouts of America, including the Orange County Council and the Las Vegas Area Council. Will, thank you so much for being here today.
Hi, Heather. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So when exactly was Junior Achievement of Southern Nevada founded?
This surprised me, actually. I just came in January, and I checked. It was founded in 1919. Junior Achievement as a whole. Yeah. So we've been around for over 100 years and have been teaching kids kind of how to start businesses and about financial literacy ever since. So,
okay. And what about the Southern Nevada division?
Junior Achievement of Southern Nevada was founded here in Las Vegas and was founded in 1996.
Wow. Okay. So why is Junior Achievement important for local students?
Well, what we do is we teach financial literacy, which I can't stress enough that I wish I had as a kid being taught that in school. And so what we'll do is we'll partner with schools and we teach entrepreneurship, workforce readiness, and financial literacy. And here in Southern Nevada, we'll teach nearly 20,000 kids a year. And I think it's probably the number one skill that you should be able to take out of school and apply. And you can apply it, obviously, through the rest of your life kind of deal. So it's amazing what those kids, I recently started volunteering with Junior Achievement as well as obviously working with them. And it amazes me how incredibly bright and smart kids nowadays, especially when we're teaching them high level concepts like financial literacy from kindergarten all the way up to a senior in high school. So,
yeah, you know, that's a good point. And I've wondered about that myself as well. Why don't we make financial literacy education available to kids until like the post-secondary level where you can take economics and stuff like that? But why do we leave it out for the younger kids?
Why it's not in the school system is, you know, that's kind of one of the feeling really fun parts is we get to fill that gap.
Yeah.
You know, coming over to Junior Achievement, I talked to a whole bunch of my colleagues and the feedback was, oh my gosh, exactly that. Why, you know, we should be teaching, it should be reading, writing, arithmetic, and financial literacy, because it's something obviously that you can carry with you through the rest of your life. So we kind of fill that gap. And I'll give like kind of a fun example in teaching. I believe I was teaching second graders, and you get to teach them really high level concepts like innovation, again, how kind of money flows through a community, what a production line looks like, and really how businesses and people make money. And it's fascinating to see from a second grader's perspective. In this lesson we do, where we as a class start a donut shop and we're selling donuts. And it's interesting to see a second grader not be able to answer how does the donut shop make money? And which is just a silly concept, but it kind of blew my mind of walking them through, we sell the donuts to people and that's how we make money and that's how we pay our employees. And again, this is all very high level stuff being taught to a second grader. And after the class, all those kids, you know, giving you high fives and going, I can't wait to learn about what my mom or dad does for work. And I want to learn more about financial literacy. So it's really cool how it opens the door to all of those new things in a young person's life. And really inspires them to look at, oh my gosh, there's so many more things than just go to college. I could go be a mechanic in mechanic school. I could go to college and be an accountant, so on and so forth. So we're really about the business of just opening that door of opportunities and sharing that and teaching that with as many kids as possible here in Southern Nevada.
Yeah, that reminds me, actually, when my son was in probably first or second grade, I think he was, you know, between 5 to 7 years old, he used to set up a toy shop in our living room, and he would put all his toys there, and he'd have his little cash register, and then he'd sell me his toys, which I thought was super cool. You know,
I'm buying, Heather.
Right? He's 13 now. He kind of grew out of that phase, but he had a lot of fun with it. And you know, when we think about financial education, everybody loves money, right? Mm-hmm. So why not feed that curiosity with the kids? And, you know, you brought up the great example with the donut shop, but I think it's wonderful.
It's been, like I said, me being relatively new to Junior Achievement of Southern Nevada, starting just back in January, it's been unbelievably fulfilling and so exciting and fun to keep. I keep calling it, I've been peeling back the onion layer every single day, finding new and amazing programs that we offer to kids. So it's just, you know, we offer a really, truly incredible experience for kids to learn again about financial literacy.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, on the one hand, money's fun. Everyone loves money. But on the other hand, it's math. So what are some of the ways that you make financial literacy fun and interesting and exciting for the kids?
One of the, and this was kind of another fun example, I got to teach this to kindergartners. One of the ways we did is we talked about the difference between a need and a want. And so you go throughout the class and you teach all the kindergartners, you know, a need. We need water. We need food. We need shelter. And then we'll go through and say, what's a want? And they, you know, I want a new Fortnite character, or I want, you know, a Ferrari in my future. But to consciously see a kindergartner where you see that light bulb go off and go, I want a new Fortnite character, or I want, you know, new clothes, but I don't really need it. And that kind of develops into a really fun conversation of, if you have $100, are you going to spend it on stuff you don't need, or, you know, and how do you balance that? So that's just one example. And it's what we do kind of with partnering with the community and volunteers is we do exactly that. We partner with a whole bunch of different companies and also just the community volunteers. And then we'll kind of almost take over a school for one of our programs called JA in a Day. And we've got that, you know, whether that's the accountant or in my case, a development officer or, you know, somebody, another entrepreneur who owns his own business, they get to teach a classroom for an entire day. And then they get to kind of overlay their personal experience of, you know, in this donut shop example, I own a print shop, and they get to kind of explain this actually is real life and it's not just a kind of deal. So it's been fun to see that personal touch makes it really, really fun for a volunteer and fun for a student and a young person going, this isn't just out of a book. This is really hands-on stuff. And so that's another reason it gets really exciting and you get the kids kind of engaged and really, really fun. So,
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us a little bit about this golden ticket raffle that you've got going on.
So we've got exactly that, the goldenticket.org. If I'll make shout out, if you can't see it on the screen, it's right behind me here. you go to thegoldenticket.org. What we've done is we've reached out to, again, a whole bunch of different community partners, a whole bunch of our board members and people, you wouldn't believe it, have volunteered up for free as a gift in kind. And we've put together, I would say, the best raffle package in America. It's really over the top. We've got hotel stays from, you know, some of the top resorts in the entire world here in Las Vegas. We've got one of the packages, you get a train with the former UFC champion Forrest Griffin at the UFC Apex Center. So truly once in a lifetime experiences. And the two of the other big ones are, if you're a Killers fan of that rock music, we've got a meet and greet, two passes where you get to meet them backstage in person and attend and see their entire concert. And so it's almost like you got to be friends with the Killers for a night. And then one of the other really fun, bigger packages, I looked this up right before we jumped on this call. Okay. There's about 525 people in the history of the world that have experienced true weightlessness when it comes to, you know, being in space. Mm-hmm. One of our prize packages is the zero gravity experience. And you go into an airplane, a full commercial airplane that's been totally gutted on the inside. And they'll take you to 40,000 feet and they'll do essentially, I don't want to say loop-de-loops, but free fall dives. And when you're in a free fall dive, that sounds really intense. you experience literally the exact same thing that an astronaut experiences of complete weightlessness, which is, again, on literally on another planet kind of deal. So we've compiled those incredible packages. Golden Ticket, is $100 and a silver ticket is $25. And we've broken it up into the, obviously the golden ticket prize packages are at least a $6,000 value. And I'd say being relatively generous on that, most of them are much closer to $10,000 worth of value. So again, the best raffle that I've seen in America, really. And then the silver tickets are a value of at least $2,000. And obviously that's a $25 ticket, but still just incredible prize packages. And all of the proceeds go to helping Junior Achievement of Southern Nevada serve more kids through all the programs that we offer teaching financial literacy. So
I see prizes with the Vegas Golden Knights, the Las Vegas Raiders, UNLV football and basketball, Life is Beautiful Music Festival, Vegas Indoor Skydiving. There's like so many things here and they look, you know, really high end, like you mentioned.
And I'll mention one other thing is that a lot of the prizes we have are group packages. So it's typically at least for two people. So, you know, if you and your husband or your wife or your best friend want to go, you know, skydiving, the indoor skydiving, I believe, is for two. And then the other kind of really fun concept is if you're out of state, we've partnered with Southwest Airlines and they've donated airline tickets. So you can fly into Vegas, you know, on us and on those tickets, do a ton of all the really, really fun things and, you know, take your ticket home kind of deal. So, but really incredible prizes.
So you mentioned that all the proceeds are going to support Junior Achievement. What exactly is the money being used for to help the kids?
So every dollar spent on a golden ticket is tax deductible and it goes directly to Junior Achievement of Southern Nevada. And I always like to say is when people donate to Junior Achievement, we spend that money so we can go serve and expand our programs to more kids in Southern Nevada. You know, I know kind of on the horizon, we're going to be adding more kind of education partners to kind of just, again, just really expand that number of kids that we get to serve. It goes to a whole bunch of the program supplies that it takes to serve all those kids and really just kind of the organization and getting our name out there to again, just help serve as many kids as possible in our community.
Speaking of that, if there happens to be a teacher listening who might want to get the JA in a Day program in their school, is there an opportunity for them to request that?
Yeah, absolutely. You can either contact me or contact our CEO, Michelle Jackson, who's just incredible. But we would love to get in touch with, if there's a teacher out there listening to this, you can contact me at Will, so W-I-L-L dot Abbott, A-B-B-O-T-T, at JA.org. And we would love to get in touch with you and host a JA in a Day, or if it's not that program, another program to help teach your kids about financial literacy. And again, it's an incredible program that teaches kids something that, you know, in my opinion, should be taught to every kid.
If you don't have teachers that reach out directly, how do you normally decide what schools will get these programs?
The other kind of side of our staff is our education team. And they go out. We've got a head education director and then a elementary school kind of grade director, and then a high school and middle school grade director. And they go out and identify, again, just other schools that really could use the programs. And then we partner with them.
Nice. Okay. So when is the drawing for the golden ticket raffle?
So we've only got a few days left. It is being held on May 31st. And again, you can buy your golden ticket at thegoldenticket.org. And I know we also we've been flooding social media with a whole bunch of really kind of fun 30-second videos that highlight a ton of the different prizes. So
nice. Okay. And what if people want to find out more about what Junior Achievement of Southern Nevada does, or maybe get involved as a volunteer or a donor?
We would love that. You can contact me again directly. I love getting to just kind of talk to people and share what Junior Achievement does for our community and for our kids. And again, you can contact me at will.abbott@ja.org. So will.abbott@ja.org.
Okay, nice. So if you want to enter the raffle, it's thegoldenticket.org. Hurry, because the raffle is being drawn on May 31st. It's only a few days away, so that's on Tuesday. You still have a couple of days. Thegoldenticket.org. Tickets are either $25 or $100, depending whether you're interested in the silver or the gold packages. Thegoldenticket.org. If you want to find out more about Junior Achievement of Southern Nevada, jasnv.org, jasnv.org. Or if you want to inquire about being a volunteer, being a donor, if you're a teacher that wants to investigate having programs in your classroom, will.abbott@ja.org, Will with two L's, Abbott with two B's and two T's, at ja.org. Will, thank you so much for being here. I hope you get a lot of people entering the raffle, and I hope you get a lot of new teachers reaching out for the new year and putting these programs in, because it's so important, as we mentioned, for the kids to be learning financial literacy. It's just, you know, it's one of those voids that kids have growing up, and it's just amazing what you're doing for them. So thank you for being here, and thank you for talking about it.
Thank you so much, Heather, for having me. And thank you, you know, everybody listening to, you know, hopefully we'll get in touch in the future, and would love to just have more people get involved. Love it. Thank you, Heather.
Absolutely.
The future depends on teachers. Every day, teachers are shaping our tomorrows, starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist will make preventing pandemics their life's work, sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who will help combat climate change, and generating possibilities for a student who will be the first in their family to graduate college. It all starts with teachers who meet challenges with creativity, who reinvent education for the future, who work towards a school system that lifts up every child, regardless of race, income, or zip code, and who enable the full potential of our students, our communities, and our country. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and I'm your host, Heather Vail. Today I'm speaking with Kelly Despain, owner of Bottega Exchange, and Kelly Maxwell, executive director of Baby's Bounty. Bottega Exchange is a premier co-working space in the southwest area of the Valley. And Baby's Bounty is a local nonprofit that supports and empowers at-risk families. They do this by providing education and essential tools for raising healthy babies through their baby bundles, diaper bank, and other programs. Bottega Exchange is hosting an event for Baby's Bounty in a few weeks, which we'll talk about as well. Kelly and Kelly, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
What was the motivation behind creating Bottega Exchange?
So Bottega Exchange was born out of necessity, really. When we opened pre-pandemic in 2019, there were not a lot of co-working options available, and definitely not co-working options available in the southwest area of Las Vegas. So I was looking for my own office space and was unable to find anything that really fit my need and didn't require a really long intro lease. Or I was actually told one time, we only rent to publicly traded companies, you know, so it's really hard for a small company or a company just starting out to find office space that allows them to be professional. So it kind of just, you know, originally looking for me for a small space and turned it into a really large space to accommodate other people in the same circumstances as myself.
Do clients rent it out on a long-term basis, or is this a temporary working solution?
So we have both private offices and then the public kind of open co-working space. The co-working space is just an intro 3-month lease, and then it's month to month until you ask us to, or until you leave, or something requires you to unfortunately move out, which we hope never happens. But so just a 3-month. The offices, we do a 1-year lease, and then it goes month to month after that.
Okay, and why would people choose to set up their workspace at a co-working type of scenario instead of working from home, as a lot of people do?
Yeah, you know, we were really questioning the decision to do this mid-pandemic when everybody was like, working from home was great. But it is nice to come here because we provide everything. So you've got your kind of commercial copy machines that do black and white and color up to 13 by 19 inch prints. So that's included in the membership, all of your prints. Unlimited snacks and drinks in the kitchen, and a receptionist to greet your clients, a conference room to use if you need to have meetings, and 24/7 access. So we know a lot of people kind of do a little hustle and have a side job. We have a lot of people coming in the middle of the night just to get things done. We have really fast Wi-Fi. We pay to bring fiber out to the area, actually. So we just provide a lot of things that people were going to coffee shops for, but we provide the food for you. You don't even need to go out to get your coffee. We got it.
Wow, nice. Okay. Kelly Maxwell, what services does Baby's Bounty offer to the Las Vegas Valley residents?
So Baby's Bounty is a 13-year-old nonprofit working here in Southern Nevada to improve health outcomes for families with small children. Our programming was really born out of our former founder and executive director was working with the Nevada Homeless Alliance and would put on homeless fairs and really noticed a need for baby supplies. So she was calling around to find resources for these clients and realized that there were no adequate resources for infants in a city of this size. So she took $500 of her own money and launched Baby's Bounty from her garage. She was putting together baby emergency packs, which she called them at the time, which had diapers, wipes, maybe a onesie, maybe some toiletries in them, and would distribute them at the homeless fairs. And they were always the first supplies to go at these homeless resource fairs. So she decided there was a lot of room to work in that space and moved to doing Baby's Bounty full time. That bundle has now grown into basically, we call it a baby shower in a bag. It's all of the items needed to care for a newborn for the first 6 months of life. So it's a brand new crib, a brand new car seat, infant bathtub, toiletries, diapers, wipes, 25 items of clothing, a safe sleep kit, bibs, rattles, baby books, feeding supplies, really everything you need to give your baby a good start. And we've distributed 8,500 of those since our inception. And to qualify for that programming, our clients do need to take our Safe Sleep and Baby Basics course so that together they have both the education and the tools to properly care for their newborn. When COVID hit, we saw an increased need for diapers. Clients were calling us. Not only could they not afford the diapers, maybe they were waiting on unemployment, had lost their jobs during the initial shutdown, but then folks were hoarding diapers just like they were hoarding toilet paper. So our clients couldn't find diapers. They were calling us in a panic, and we started distributing kind of back to our roots with the baby emergency packs out of our office. And we were doing 60, 70 a week, and it just wasn't sustainable. So I started calling around trying to find a diaper resource in Southern Nevada, and there isn't. There wasn't a consistent diaper resource for our clients. So we reached out to one of our community partners, Anthem Medicaid. We launched our first diaper bank with $10,000 from them. We helped 83 families that week. Since then, we've helped 25,000 families with 1.5 million diapers and 3.9 million wipes. We're going to celebrate our second anniversary of our diaper bank. We're operating in Las Vegas, North Las Vegas, and we're going to pick back up our Henderson location here soon. So that's Baby's Bounty.
Wow, that's incredible. So besides taking the course that you mentioned, how does a family become eligible for a baby bundle or the diaper bank?
We make it very easy. So for our bundle program, our clients just need a referral from one of our partner agencies. And we work with about 120 partner agencies here in Southern Nevada. And those are the domestic violence shelters, social services from the county and the state, religious organizations, really anyone who has direct contact with clients through case management can refer clients to us. We have contracts in place with all of them, even the Clark County School District as well. So the clients need to be within 45 days of delivery, or they need to have given birth and their child is under 6 months old. We really want them to have these supplies even before they give birth so that they can, their child is in the car seat and then sleeping in the crib from day one. they need a referral from that partner agency, and they need to be within 130% of the federal poverty guidelines, and then just complete that course. We can do all of that within a week's time. So we often will get emergency referrals from the hospitals, and we can have a bundle made for them in 10, 15 minutes if need be. For our diaper bank, our clients just need to register. They need diapers and register online and come to our diaper banks.
You mentioned homeless people being one of the first type of clientele that the nonprofit served. And, you know, when I think of a homeless mother with a newborn baby, my first thought is, how on earth is that baby going to survive on the streets? How exactly does that work if the client happens to be homeless and trying to raise an infant?
So how we typically work when we identify situations like that is that we try to find them the proper casework first before they get their supplies, because handing a homeless mother a crib and a car seat and two great big bags full of items does often more harm than good, right? They can't carry all of those items, and they might, you know, just wind up getting ditched on the street, and that's no good for anyone. So we try to get them the casework they need to get them into a stable situation first. So what's nice is the caseworkers refer clients to us, and we refer clients back out to them. So we had a homeless family that we reached out to one of our partners, the Just One Project, and got them case management and then the supplies they needed. So we try to work in that way, solve the immediate problem first.
Okay. So you're both partnering for an event coming up on June 11th. Could you both tell us more about what that event is and what people can expect to see there?
Sure. So Bottega Exchange hosts a market 4 times a year, and it's just local small businesses that get together. We create just kind of a fun day of shopping and eating and live music. We work with some local musical artists who are, you know, trying to break into the scene as well. Just a fun day. But we decided this time, I've known Kelly Maxwell for a number of years and love everything she does and the heart and soul she puts into helping the less fortunate in the Valley, and thought we get so many people that come to these events that we need to flip it so it's actually helping a nonprofit in the Valley. So Baby's Bounty is our first, and we're asking for donations at the door. Any donation helps. Our events are always free, but we've been promoting it as a support for Baby's Bounty. So donation at the door. Any donation over $20 actually gets you a drink ticket. And so we'll have a couple of different bars, alcoholic and non-alcoholic drinks throughout the event that you can turn that ticket in, and then also eligible for the prizes if you have an over a $20 donation.
And will Baby's Bounty be on site as well?
Yes, absolutely. I've been to the Bottega Fairs before. They're a lot of fun, great shopping, a lot of great people, great entertainment. So yes, absolutely, we'll be on hand. We'll talk about our programming a little bit and talk about what these donations mean. So the good news is that our operating expenses are largely covered by grants, by both state and federal grants. So 100% of these donations will go towards buying the supplies that we will get right in the hands of the folks who need them. So just for perspective, the 1.5 million diapers that we've distributed at the wholesale price that we purchased at is about $375,000. So diapering a city is incredibly expensive, and we need help from our community to take care of those most vulnerable amongst us.
To toss in there, we're also going to have free for anybody the vaccine clinic. So Southern Nevada Health usually comes to this event and is there to distribute to anybody who needs it a vaccine. So if anybody comes, they just can walk away with helping a local nonprofit and protecting themselves and their family.
Okay, so if people want to know more about Bottega Exchange and what kind of services you offer, maybe decide if they want to take advantage of the co-working space opportunity, Kelly, where would they find out more about that?
So our website has the most information, www.bottegaexchange.com. It's B-O-T-T-E-G-A. Or you can always pop in. We do tours all the time. And if you are really interested, work a free day on us. Just come in and say, I want to try it out. And we would love to give you a tour and find a seat for you and give you the Wi-Fi.
Okay. And if people want to find out more about Baby's Bounty and its available services and resources, Kelly, where would they go for that?
So very easy, babiesbounty.org, B-A-B-Y-S. And they can always call the office if they're, you know, some of our clients have challenges with internet connection if they're living in poverty, but most folks can get to a phone and we can walk them through our programming. We can even give the courses telephonically if necessary. So we really try to meet our clients where they are. So they can reach out to us by phone at 702-485-2229.
Okay. And the fair that is benefiting Baby's Bounty will be on June 11th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Where can people find out more information about that and the various people and vendors that will be on site that day?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are just finalizing the vendor list right now, but it will be up on our website. And it's also on our social media, Instagram and Facebook, Bottega Exchange. And they can also see what we've done in the past. So all of that's in the history of our social media as well.
Nice. Okay. So BottegaExchange.com, if you want to find out more about Bottega Exchange and using a co-working space, short-term leases are available as well as lots of office equipment. So you can work from a professional environment instead of home. And that's all available at BottegaExchange.com, as well as the event on June 11th, which will be from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., benefiting Baby's Bounty. And if you want to find out more about Baby's Bounty, again, it's babiesbounty.org, babiesbounty.org. Kelly and Kelly, I want to thank you both so much for being here and making people aware of both the services that you offer, things that the community might not know about, and also the event that's coming up. And also, Kelly, before we go, Kelly Maxwell, I'm assuming that there might be ways that people can help out Baby's Bounty besides coming to the event. So what kind of opportunities do you have for either donations or volunteer work?
All of the above. So we need volunteers all the time. So we run between 2 and 3 diaper banks per month. We serve about 500 clients at each diaper bank, and we're a staff of 4. So we definitely need community support to help run our diaper banks, organize our warehouse. We also distribute about 20 bundles, baby bundles each week. So we need volunteers to come and assemble those. We have volunteer opportunities for those who are able-bodied and those who perhaps are older and really don't want to do the physical labor, things like writing notes of encouragement to the new parents, which we'd love to include in our bundles. So things like that can be done even from home. We always accept donations from our community. So we need larger size diapers, unopened. We can distribute formula that's not expired. You know, there's a formula crisis going on right now. And so if parents have moved on to solid foods and they have formula that's not unopened and not expired, please donate to Baby's Bounty. And we accept infant clothing in good condition as well.
Nice. Okay. So babiesbounty.org, if you want to find out any of that, or just give them a call. And what's the number again, Kelly?
702-485-2229.
Okay. And if you want to volunteer, if you want to donate, or if you want to come out to the event, which is also to support Baby's Bounty, that's going to be June 11th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Bottega Exchange. And you can find out more about that at bottegaexchange.com. Thank you both, Kelly and Kelly, for being here today. I really appreciate your time and making people aware of your services and what you're doing for the community. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
When the wolf?
Oh, a wolf.
What about the tiny dog? Cat. Aww. Owl.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Dolphin. What does the turkey say? Whale.
Yeah, whale sound.
Do the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe. Giraffe. Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff. like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and I'm your host, Heather Vail. Today I'm speaking with Mark Bloom, Executive Director of National Healthcare Alliance America's Agenda and Managing Director of their Healthcare Education Fund. Mark is a recognized expert on innovative solutions to address the rising costs of healthcare. Under his direction, America's Agenda has successfully built and won comprehensive statewide healthcare reform campaigns. Mark, thank you so much for being here today.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Heather, and with your audience, too.
So what exactly does America's Agenda do?
Yeah, America's Agenda pulls together folks that you often don't see working together, employers and labor organizations, Republicans and Democrats, to win reforms to healthcare that actually make high-quality healthcare affordable for working Americans.
So speaking of that, it seems like prescription drug prices have been rising lately. Why is that?
The prescription drug prices have actually been the most rapidly growing part of the overall healthcare spend for Americans. They have been growing largely because the market for prescription drugs is dysfunctional. It doesn't work like competitive markets should work. Incentives for folks in the production chain are misaligned. And in the middle of that marketplace is what economists call an arbitrageur. An arbitrageur is a middleman, in this case, a very large corporate middleman that buys from suppliers and resells to consumers and makes profit out of the difference. In the prescription drug marketplace, their technical term is pharmacy benefit managers. They're invisible to most Americans, PBMs for short, but they are in fact arbitrageurs or corporate middlemen that have incentives to actually prefer drug prices to rise, even though their value proposition is to reduce costs for consumers. Their financial incentive to have those costs rise, they make more profit off higher priced drugs. And they divert savings they could be creating by aggregating demand and leveraging down prices from prescription drug managers. They take those savings and divert them into their own bank accounts. It's not illegal, but it is offensive to a person who needs a life-saving drug and finds they can't afford it, when in fact the actual net cost of the drug is quite affordable.
Why isn't it illegal for these corporations to be making one promise, which is lower prices for prescription drugs, and then delivering the exact opposite?
Well, it may be illegal if the right antitrust legislation were enforced against PBMs, but so far the Federal Trade Commission has not voted to investigate. Actually, just a month ago, the FTC held a hearing on whether it would investigate the lack of competition and the business practices of the PBM industry, and prospectively to break them up using antitrust legislation the way, for example, the telephone company several decades was broken up, reducing telephone costs very substantially to consumers. But the FTC broke down over party lines, 2-2. There's supposed to be a fifth member of the commission appointed, not appointed yet. And a lot of lobbying money was spent to persuade the FTC not to act. But in fact, new legislation is in fact needed to assure that the PBM business model drives savings and value to consumers. Here's what basically happens. A PBM aggregates demand from many demanders, individual patients, small self-funded business health plans, large commercial insurance plans, and then their value proposition to leverage down prices from a manufacturer. That's a pretty good idea. We know that if demand is greater, you should be able to, in a competitive market, leverage down price. The problem is that pricing is extremely complicated in the prescription drug market, and PBMs have really benefited. In fact, they have added to that complication. When a typical drug transaction happens, when a consumer, a patient goes to buy a drug, in fact, the PBM has many ways they can extract revenues from that same transaction. One is PBMs go to manufacturers who offer a high list price, negotiate that down to a net price, The PBM then takes that net price when the consumer has a copay in the PBM prescription drug plan. They're going to pay a copay very often on the high list price, which nobody is paying, not on the net price that the PBM is actually paying. In addition, the PBM has successfully, throughout the last several decades, PBMs have kept all or a large portion of the rebates. Those are the discounts from the list price for themselves rather than passing it on to, say, employer health plans or even public sector health plans. In addition, we found that even when there was pressure on PBMs to reduce the amount of rebates they retained, they found other ways to take back revenues, charging manufacturers' fees, non-administrative manufacturers' fees, non-administrative fees against employer health plans to take back revenues. We found, for example, that the PBMs own the largest specialty drug pharmacies, and specialty drugs are the fastest growing part of total health costs. And when they reduced their rebates, they were able to increase the profits they took out of the retail pharmacies that they owned, taking back that kind of money. So you can see there's many ways PBMs get revenues in the same transaction. Mm. You squeeze one part of the balloon, they've succeeded in inflating the other part of the balloon, making net costs keep on going up. So what we need is a comprehensive solution that would, in fact, reduce their rate of profitability and drive that savings back to consumers.
Okay, so what is this comprehensive solution that you propose?
Well, there's a few elements of it. One is indeed to look at the absence of meaningful competition, applying antitrust law. There are only three large PBMs that control 80% of the marketplace. That is, more than 80% of all prescription drug transactions are processed by three PBMs. More than that, the three PBMs have either own or are owned by the three largest commercial insurance companies. The major insurers have now merged with the major PBMs. More than that, they own PBMs, each own the largest specialty pharmacies, as I've just described. But yet there's another level of this concentration. Two of the largest three PBMs have now opened offshore offices, which effectively help them evade scrutiny by regulators, one in Denmark, another one in Dublin. They're called GPOs, or group purchasing organizations, but in fact, they have no customers abroad. PBM's book of business is almost exclusively in the United States. So effectively, they've become international, highly concentrated bodies that could be, to whom antitrust legislation could and should be applied. Second part of it is to require PBMs to be fiduciaries. What does that mean? In the financial sector, we know fiduciary can not get paid multiple ways. They can only get paid one way, a transparent administrative fee for the service they provide. And secondly, the fiduciary has to operate in the interest of its clients. They can't make profits independent of the service fee they're paid. That would be a whole rechanging of the PBM business model in the direction of requiring that they pass through savings they can in fact create to consumers. That was their original purpose. So to require them to become fiduciaries would be a global improvement in the way the prescription drug market works and making drugs more affordable. Finally, I'll say there are some additional kinds of things that could be done. The state of New Jersey recently used big data analytics technology to create a competitive market. What they did is they said to PBMs, we're going to write a common contract for all PBMs bidding on the state's business. This is for their public employees. We will use big data analytics to actually project out what the cost of each PBM's bids would be over the life of the contract, the next 3 to 5 years. And then we're going to show each PBM what your very complex billing algorithms would actually cost our state and ask you to compete with each other, driving down your cost to us in a transparent, kind of a eBay in reverse. The net result was New Jersey reduced the cost of prescription medicines for about 750,000 public employees by $2.53 billion over 5 years.
Wow. That's
simply by creating a modicum of competition. Imagine if Nevada, you don't have as many public employees, but proportionately, if you're able to drive down 20% of the health costs for your public employees without cutting their benefits at all, what a benefit to taxpayers.
Absolutely.
That's possible. We could do that today. Minnesota is currently undertaking its own PBM reverse auction America's Agenda, the organization that I lead with allies in Minnesota, like New Jersey, have worked to create legislation to run a PBM reverse auction, a very different way of procuring prescription drugs. But it uses technology to create a competitive market, a real dynamic competition between PBMs, which doesn't today exist.
So what exactly is the PBM Accountability Project?
Yeah, America's Agenda, after we designed that reverse auction in New Jersey, we got really interested in what is this business model that PBMs use: obscurity, lack of transparency. People don't really understand the business model. And in fact, we know there's no real competition. Only three PBMs control over 80% of all claims processed for prescription drugs. The incumbent PBM, in over 90% of the cases, simply renews its account. That doesn't sound like a very competitive marketplace. So after we saved that much money, billions of dollars, literally, by creating a competitive marketplace in the state of New Jersey, we began to do research on the PBM business model. And we began to reach out to other state legislatures and other public employee groups. In New Jersey, unions represent the public employee groups as unions represent public employees in Nevada. We found that Republicans in the legislature, as well as Democrats, came together saying, look, we would like to save money. If we can do that without hurting public employees, but we can save taxpayers money, or as in New Jersey, they use the money for infrastructure building in the state. If we can do that, we want to run reverse auctions. We want to find other ways to address the PBM ripoff, and we want to save taxpayers money. So the PBM Accountability Project was created to research PBMs. We've been publishing some very interesting and original research that of a kind that's never been done before about the PBM business model, and also working directly with unions and legislatures to develop legislation that works for taxpayers.
Okay. Now, obviously, listeners, when they hear about how they're being ripped off, as you said, are going to feel a little bit helpless and perhaps wonder what they can do. So what are the things that consumers in Nevada can do about this issue?
Well, let me tell you, first of all, you can save yourself some pocket money by not just relying on your health plans, which are essentially PBM-run prescription offerings. Look at apps like GoodRx, which will tell you how much your prescriptions may cost you. You may find, if you look at those apps, that if you pay the full price of a drug at a drugstore, and your app will show you the relative price of those drugstores, it may be cheaper than the copay on your PBM prescription plan. That's a terrible indictment, but it's true. So save yourself some money by looking at the apps and figure out where you can buy your drugs cheapest if you paid it fully out of pocket, as if it were a competitive marketplace. Second thing is, hold your legislators to account for addressing the PBM industry. All of us want more affordable drugs, but we cannot solve the affordability of prescription drugs in this country. We can't solve that problem unless we address the issue of PBMs that are in the middle of that market driving up prices. Prescription manufacturers have a lot to be accountable for. So do PBMs. If you only hit one part of the problem, you can't solve the problem. So hold your legislators. Fortunately, in Washington, you've got two senators who actually understand the issue. We have real discussions about fiduciary responsibility, about antitrust legislation, holding the FTC to account for investigating PBMs, and other kinds of solutions. So hold them account at the state level, as in New Jersey. There's a lot a state can do. Colorado just passed reverse auction, PBM reverse auction legislation. By the way, next year we'll be doing one too. We could get similar savings in Nevada. Hold your legislators accountable. If prescription drugs matter to you, and it's the number one healthcare concern of consumers, the number one domestic healthcare concern is the rising cost of prescription drugs, hold your legislators accountable for doing something about PBMs. And if they're accountable, my own organization, America's Agenda, we've worked with five different states in developing legislation. We'd be very happy to work with you and your constituents, your legislators in Nevada.
Nice. Okay. So how do people find out more about America's Agenda or the PBM Accountability Project, or maybe even find out who they can write to in Washington to make a difference?
Great question. PBMaccountability.org. Again, pbmaccountability.org. That's the website of the PBM Accountability Project, which America's Agenda and a number of allied organizations representing unions, consumers, pharmacists. And as I said, we've had great bipartisan support. The legislation we passed in New Jersey was endorsed and supported by Governor Christie, a Republican governor, Governor Murphy, the current Democratic governor, and won unanimous endorsement by Republicans and Democrats in the state legislature. We had similar results in Maryland. Similar results. Republicans and Democrats partnered, unheard of in this day and age, to win a PBM reverse auction in Minnesota and in Colorado as well. So this is, everybody wants to save. Everybody wants prescription drugs to be more affordable. And if we can do it without cutting benefits, but instead do it by returning profits that have been purloined, by redirecting those profits back to consumers, to employer health plans, to public health insurance programs where they belong, everybody wins.
Okay, so once again, pbmaccountability.org if you want to see what the issue is, why you're paying too much for prescription drugs, and what can be done to lower that and make it more fair in the future, pbmaccountability.org. And Mark, I want to thank you so much for being here today, for bringing this issue to light, because like you said, it's hidden, and I very much appreciate you enlightening us about the situation and what can be done. So thank you.
Anytime, Heather. Thanks so much.
Charlie died after taking a single pill that turned out to be counterfeit.
He was having back issues, and it was a counterfeit poisonous pill.
Websites and social media selling fake medicines may look legitimate, but they're not. Drugs from these rogue pharmacies could have fillers like sawdust or deadly fentanyl.
He died in less than 15 minutes after taking the pill.
Now there's a free tool that can give you peace of mind. At safe.pharmacy, enter the pharmacy web address and you'll know if the site you're using is safe.
If you're not getting your prescriptions from a legitimate source, that next dose you take could be your last.
We just don't want other people to go through what we're going through. It's just horrific.
Go to safe.pharmacy. Find out about fake medicine on social media and if the site you're buying from is safe.
I'm Heather Vail with the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and this is your community events calendar for nonprofit initiatives and charity events around the Valley. May is Older Americans Month, and the Alzheimer's Foundation of America invites you to have a free virtual memory screening. These take just a few minutes and are open to all ages. Find out more or schedule your free memory screening at alzfdn.org. May is also Mental Health Awareness Month, and the National Alliance on Mental Illness, or NAMI, would like to help you out with your mental health journey. Find out about services, resources, or sign up for a free support group at namisouthernnevada.org. That's namisouthernnevada.org. And May is also National Military Appreciation Month. To celebrate, the Nevada State Contractors Board is spreading the word about their veterans assistance programs and other resources. These programs help veterans, military members, and military spouses in becoming licensed contractors or maintaining their licenses. Explore the programs or apply for assistance at nvcontractorsboard.com. Monday's Dark is a bi-monthly musical fundraising party at The Space, with each event raising $10,000 for a specific charity in 90 minutes. Upcoming shows include Monday, June 6 at 8 p.m. benefiting the Vegas Casino Canine Foundation, and Monday, June 20th at 8 p.m. benefiting NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, Southern Nevada. Get tickets or find out more details at mondaysdark.com. Junior Achievement of Southern Nevada is holding a golden ticket raffle on Tuesday, May 31st. You have a few days left to buy a raffle ticket to enter the draw. Silver package tickets are available for $25 and gold package tickets for $100. Buy your tickets and see the prize list at thegoldenticket.org. HopeLink of Southern Nevada is celebrating 30 years of preventing homelessness, underemployment, and assisting underserved Las Vegas Valley families. Their 30th anniversary party will be on Thursday, June 2nd at the M Resort Spa Casino. The VIP reception is at 5:30 p.m. and general admission at 6:30 p.m. To purchase tickets or get more information on HopeLink, including how to volunteer, visit link2hope.org. That's link2hope.org. The Bottega Exchange co-working space is hosting a networking fair with proceeds going to support Baby's Bounty on Saturday, June 11th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Bottega Exchange. Baby's Bounty is a local nonprofit that supports and empowers at-risk families through education and essential tools for raising healthy babies. Find out more about the organization at babiesbounty.org and see all the event details at bottegaexchange.com. Ken Klein's Still Life Art Exhibit is showing through July 5th at the West Charleston Library, located on the CSN campus between Jones and Torrey Pines. Enjoy this local artist's hyper-realistic oil paintings featuring historical pop culture subjects. Proceeds from art sales are being donated to charity. And the Nevada Wheelchair Foundation is giving out free wheelchairs to those who need them and can't afford them. To request a wheelchair or help with the mission, visit NevadaWheelchairFoundation.org.
Put a frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.